Hello, this is Janet Gowan with Love Letters Live. And you know, there is always a reason to write one, and certainly there is always a welcoming reason to receive one. So if you ever have something nice to say about somebody or to somebody, why not just write it down, stamp it, and mail it, and make somebody else really happy? Today's guest is Angie Britsky, and we just met 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
She was involved, I got word of, actually, you wrote to me and emailed me and told me about a project you were doing, and how could I resist asking you to come talk about it? So talk about you and your project. Why don't you start right in with that, and we'll wander from there.
Well, so actually, the reason why I had contacted you is I wanted your advice on how to write a love letter.
Oh,
on some level, because I saw that you were an expert. And how I found you is I was listening to a podcast called The Sampler. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
So what they do is they choose 3 podcasts to talk about. And one of them was called The Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about The Heart?
No, but you mentioned that. So
So I was fascinated because I listened to the episode and it was about love letters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually what happened was they were discussing,
go ahead, wander right along.
Okay. In the podcast, they were discussing something else. And then I searched the podcast, The Heart, and mm-hmm. found an episode about love letters.
Uh-huh.
And I was very curious. And the one part of the podcast that I really liked was the piece that you did, which was explaining, like the intricacies of writing a love letter, like having a stamp upside down.
Oh, yes.
I love you.
Oh, I love talking about that. That's very
So I was like,
Had you ever heard of that?
No.
Because you're so young. Okay, go ahead.
So there was all these things that I did not know. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to know more. And I saw that you like taught classes mm-hmm. about how to write a love letter.
But then it turns out you have your own wonderful project.
Right. So I did this project, in 2013, where for an entire year, every Wednesday, I would type a love letter, make 100 copies, and put them in the SF Weekly.
What prompted you to do this? What a wonderful...
Well, there's a lot to it, actually. Well, first of all, the letters weren't mine. I actually found... There were found letters that I found on the internet.
Oh, so from well-known people, or just...
Yeah, well-known. And then there were also song lyrics and poems that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I did it is I was very curious about the way people are communicating. I lived in Japan for 2 years, and the only way I could keep in touch with the majority of my friends in America was through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like the form of communication.
What didn't you like about it?
It just was very... it was a lot of output,
mm-hmm.
and the input was...
Oh, because you were using it as real letters to really have a conversation? Is that what you're saying on Facebook, and people were not responding as fully?
Not necessarily. I mean, basically, what my experience, you know, I remember times, well, before Facebook, it's like you would send like a mass email
mm-hmm.
to your friends, and
mm-hmm.
it was like kind of like a letter form.
Yes.
And then it turned into like a blog. And then you would have people check on you via blog. And then it became Facebook, and it's just kind of, it's very free form.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not too expressive. It's very limiting. And
somebody the other day, actually my last guest, used a wonderful phrase in having depended over time on email and texting. And he said he just... I forget exactly, but it was something like he surrendered. He just fell to the sin of convenience.
Right.
I thought that was wonderful. But
definitely.
You lose something.
Yeah. So I, when I was in Japan, I was like, I knew I wanted to do this project where I would create the, like bring back the love letter,
mm-hmm.
basically, but anonymously and to strangers. And, I thought that using the SF Weekly was a really good way of just like putting it in.
It's very intriguing, yes.
So that anybody could find it.
So you went into those boxes where the SF Weeklies were, the free paper.
Exactly. I took all the papers out and then
slipped them in. That's wonderful.
So I did that for an entire year.
Did you leave a way for people to get in touch with you?
I did not.
I
had no paper trail. It was more about the experience of that person. But I have no idea... I didn't have any idea or any awareness of what that experience might be.
For them.
Mm-hmm.
You're touching on something so close to my heart, which is that a love letter is a gift.
Right.
It's from you to somebody, and it has nothing to do with what you're going to get in return.
Exactly.
On the other hand, being kind of a busybody, I always like to know. I mean, I would understand that.
Definitely.
And so, because when you write a love letter, you don't get to say, you haven't answered me, or
right.
It's just a gift.
So I felt the exact same way. I was like, I want to know. So I proposed an idea to show all the love letters, the original letters, at Adobe Bookstore in the Mission, and they immediately accepted, and I showed them on Valentine's Day, a year after the completion of the project.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also wanted it to kind of live on, so I made it into a book. With all the letters, scan letters.
And this is what this book that you brought.
Right.
I wish we had a television moment, but we don't. It's a lovely little book with a typewriter on the front, and it says Love Letter, Angie Britsky, on the front. It's a very nice cover. And this is the compilation of all the letters you wrote, or some of them, or?
The majority of them, and then,
but you made multiple copies of each.
Of each one,
of
yeah.
Yes.
And then photographs of the SF Weekly boxes that they were inserted
uh-huh.
into. So that way, over time, maybe it would then lead back to me after the experience. So when I showed the original love letters, there was still, like, I wasn't there at Adobe while it was happening, just for the opening.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if there was, you know, people had found out about it and went to see it and realized what the project was.
I mean, it's interesting that you sneaked out and snuck in, put them in. You just
right.
kind of slipped them in anonymously, and somebody else who was a guest, a woman I've become friendly with, she's wonderful. She started out with Love You Too, and she went out in the night and started posting things just anonymously on fences. People need this.
Right.
People need love notes.
So I printed maybe 250 copies of this book, and I probably have maybe 40 or so left, and I'm moving to Los Angeles. So
why are you leaving?
Oh, I used to live there, and I just got a position for with the city as a librarian. So
oh, how
it's
lovely.
My ideal job.
Oh,
so I'm really excited.
Is that what you did here? I mean, you've done this before.
Well, I went to school, a library school.
Oh, nice.
And then I was a librarian for a year. The job that I'm leaving, actually, it has to do with children's books.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nonprofit where we just donate children's books. It's called Children's Book Project in the Outer Sunset. It's an amazing organization. But I definitely wanted to get in with the city.
Yes,
and
of
become
course.
A librarian, yeah, and work reference. Where was I?
Well, you talked about, you'd printed the book, and you still have 40.
Oh, right.
And
so, and I'm moving to LA. So, and Valentine's Day is coming up. So I made a special where if someone purchased my book, I would type a love letter to whomever they wanted me to write a letter to. So for the past week and a half, I've been writing love letters. So,
people have taken you up on this offer.
Yeah. So it's been pretty interesting, but in going with the theme of the book, I'm appropriating the love letters. So there, I still don't write them. So I've been lyrics and, various other letters.
Okay. So that touches on something else that is raised with me is it okay to plagiarize?
Right.
Now, plagiarizing is if you pass it off as your own.
Right.
So it's not plagiarizing if you say, even you want to send a love letter to somebody and a poet or somebody says exactly how you feel and you think you couldn't do better
mm-hmm.
or you're too shy to do better, whatever the reason is. If you say, I found this and it expresses exactly how I feel about you.
Right.
You know, Lord Byron said it, but I'm sending it to you, whoever it is.
But as a private letter, is it plagiarism?
Well, your karma is plagiarism.
Yeah.
If you passed it off as your writing.
Definitely.
I don't know what legally it is, of course.
Right.
But how nice to be able to say, this is exactly how I feel about you, and so I'm sending you this poem because it speaks for me.
Right.
And that really counts as a love letter.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're not actually writing them, is kind of an interesting artistic adventure to find the right one.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah. And I mean, the way it's written as well is love can be all over the place. All kinds of emotions.
Yes. Like what are you thinking when you say that?
Well, there, it includes like rejection or fear.
Love
or
unattended.
Yeah.
Unrequited. It's still love. Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
So, some of the songs that I use are Dolly Parton songs that are really painful, but very sweet.
Can you give us an example?
There's one song, it's like, "Oh, the pain of loving you, the misery I go through. I just don't know what to do." But
now, when are these songs and poems that you happen to be familiar with anyway, or can we say to people, just go online and put in your search box that you want a song with lyrics expressing the pain of love, and you look for things that way?
Well, when I was doing this project, I talked about it a lot with my friends or people that I've met, because it was a big part of my life. And they would just bring up love letters or songs that reminded them, or different projects that reminded them of this one.
Mm-hmm.
So someone had mentioned that Ronald Reagan wrote Nancy Reagan a lot of love letters. So I looked those up, and I actually used a couple of those letters in the project.
Were those touching? I mean, he wrote those himself, right?
Yeah, they were really sweet. They were very innocent and like very, they were nice. And then, I think a friend of mine bought me the album Trio, which is like Dolly Parton and Emmylou Harris.
Yes.
And who's the third? Linda Ronstadt.
Yes, yes.
And I just love the songs. I just like listen to them over and over.
Because they did a redo, didn't they, do To Know Him Is It To Love Him?
Yes.
Teddy Bears, yes.
Yeah, so I may have used that one too. But they were all just like very sweet love songs. But yeah, that was the fun part about it too. And then,
do you write them yourself to people ever?
Personally?
Your own handwriting and your own, like, who would you write one today, right now, if you were to write a love letter?
Probably my boyfriend.
Okay.
But is he
going with you to LA?
He is coming.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I actually, like, when I was doing this project, I tried to write my own, and I thought they were so contrived and...
Oh, interesting. What made you think that?
I didn't feel like I had the experience. I had
of writing them?
Of just really knowing love.
Oh, okay.
At the time.
Because I think, you know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, I can't really write love letters because I'm not a very good writer. But if you write what you really feel, it's going to make you a good writer.
Right.
For a significant love letter.
I think in the past I have written letters and they're just, it was more unrequited.
Yes.
And it was, I mean, I was like, so just going through others, like tapping into other people's emotions or feelings about love, I just felt like it broadened it for me.
But what about when you say unrequited? I think writing a love letter to an ex who has dumped you, even miserably, when you can get to that stage, is really a gift for you and for the ex.
Right.
To say at some point, I want to thank you for all I did get from you.
It was more unrequited, though, like the pre-dump, I think, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm saying any kind of a letter like that that you write to somebody, even if it's an unrequited, if you're expressing yourself really compassionately and putting your truth to paper and sending it, isn't that a wonderful gift?
It is. No,
you know,
it's great.
I mean, not with anything snide or passive aggressive. I mean, just a pure, here's what I loved about you.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
It's also really freeing.
Yeah. No, love letters are great, which is part of why I did this project and why I wanted to. I was actually hoping that more people bought my book this time around, and then I would have like the experience of writing all these love letters. But
well, why don't you stick to it?
Yeah, that's true. I could.
You know, I mean, this is a year project, right?
Yeah.
So I think in the scheme of things, when people develop things that really take off, a year isn't a whole lot of time.
That's true.
You know, there's no such thing as an overnight success.
No, that's very true.
All those overnight successes you hear about, they're in your face overnight, but they've usually been working on something for years.
It's very true.
Yeah. Oh, you should stay with us. This is really lovely.
Yeah. I have like 4 other projects too. So this is like one of many.
So are those something to be kept under your hat until they evolve, or do you want to say what they are?
Well, actually, right now, I had mentioned that I'm starting a podcast, but I'm interviewing every single one of my Facebook friends.
Ooh.
Because I'm very curious about, a lot of these projects stem, or like,
That's great.
The things that I'm very interested in.
With an eye towards what? And how many do you have?
I have over 1,000, and they're all over. So
will you interview them via Facebook, or will you telephone them, or what?
Well, initially I wanted to do it in person, which would have taken years and cost a lot of money. Right. So, I'm trying to connect with the people that I can in person, and that's been a challenge, but it's been great. And then
interview them with an eye towards, is it okay for you to say without giving away the,
oh no, it's basically the idea of the project is it's kind of creating a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Based upon like when I met this person, mm-hmm. and it's more about them, like what was going on with them when I met them. So, you know, it's kind of interesting if it's someone that I met in 5th grade mm-hmm. or, you know, and they're my Facebook friend, but I really haven't seen them since high school.
So you're kind of putting the heart to Facebook.
Yeah. Well, maybe actually it's more about this, like this, this way of communicating, or, you know, having this like Rolodex of friends virtually.
Yes.
But then what does that actually mean in terms of a relationship with that person or an actual friendship? And it's been interesting because there are people on there that I don't know.
I was going to say, who has really 1,000 friends?
Right.
That's totally unrealistic.
Right. So
how do you get people on Facebook you don't know? I have a few of those too. They're friends of friends and I like.
Well, I'm trying to start. Well, at first I was doing people that I felt very comfortable with or that I know pretty well just to like get it going. And then because I'm moving, I was like, oh, I should try to get every person I know in San Francisco before I go. And it's funny because as I started doing that, I realized, oh, some of these people I don't know very well. And it felt a little awkward, but then I'm like, why does that feel awkward if I'm giving this information online that they can easily access.
So why did you come to an answer for yourself why it felt awkward?
Well, I don't know yet. I mean, everyone's been pretty receptive. Some people have just kind of ignored my mm-hmm. message, but I'm also under the assumption that they don't use Facebook that much.
That could be. And also, you know, I think you can have an actual friendship over Facebook. I've been Facebook friends with a couple of people. It doesn't even matter why, but you know, we have a connection and we chat with each other. And then when I meet them on 2 occasions, I met people and we both kind of ran to each other, open arms and said, oh yes, we're Facebook friends. Like we're connected in some neighborhood.
Right.
So I think that's legitimate.
Were you friends in real life first?
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
So we were connected via something else.
Right.
Actually having to do with love letters.
Right.
I mean, this particular talk show and my workshops. But then when I met them, they were so familiar and so part of my life already that it was a really easy transition. So I can see where you would.
Well, that was also interesting for me too. Like when I was living in Japan, I would post a lot of photos. I really love taking photos and I felt more connected to the people that were responding to my photos
mm-hmm.
than the people that weren't.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Of course it does.
But they weren't necessarily close to me in real life. Mm-hmm. And then when I returned to the States, I could immediately tell that they felt closer to me by wanting to see me in real life and hang out with me.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
It is an interesting turn of events in life.
Yeah.
I read something recently and it really, I want to know how you, in terms of expressing yourself on Facebook, there is this deal now where if you really feel something strongly, you follow it with about 10 exclamation points. And if you leave those out, people think you don't care.
Really?
Yes. I've had that experience, you know, where I'll respond to something with great. And then the response is, well, I can see you don't really think it's so good.
Really?
I said it was great. I know, but you didn't have any exclamation points after it.
Huh? That's interesting.
It's so bizarre.
I mean, I occasionally use one, but I've never used more than one.
Yeah, I've sworn off them. I'm not using them anymore. And the response I'm getting is that I'm a lunatic.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, sometimes, I'll put, like, in parentheses an emotion.
Right.
Like, actually write out the emotion.
Which you would do in a letter.
Right.
You would actually write down how you feel. It's part of the letter.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I had no idea about the exclamation point.
There are certain things that have changed in life. For example, I've heard it said, and it's true, I'm sure, that it's now considered in many circles rude to make a phone call.
In general?
Yes, because you're always bothering somebody. People are always doing something. They don't want the phone to be ringing.
That's
I understand that. You haven't come across that?
Well, I realize, well, if someone's texting me, I'll be like, can I call you? Or when is a good time to call?
So you tend to change things into real communication.
I like communicating in real life. Yeah. But I also, I mean, I use Facebook so much, but it's more like the output than, it always seems like I'm just putting stuff out there, not necessarily for feedback, although that feels good. I am really interested in how relationships work and communication and networking and how people,
So you will keep this up and turn it. This just has the feel of something great to me.
Oh, thank you.
This a whole world of, I mean, I never thought of this until I saw you do this, a whole world of writing love letters to people based on other people's expressed love. And I think that's just lovely. I see a whole world in that.
Thank you.
I think that's very nice. What were you, when you first came in, you said you wanted to know certain things about writing letters. And
okay.
I was so intrigued that you'd never heard of this upside down stamp.
Well, so this I don't know if I should share this, but it doesn't matter, I suppose. But one of the requests for a love letter was to a crush.
Uh-huh.
And this crush may or may not have a girlfriend. And it's really, actually, I still haven't written the letter because I'm actually not sure what is a good way of
You're doing this on behalf of somebody else.
On behalf of somebody
wonderful.
Else. So I was going to actually ask for your advice on how.
I'd love to give it. I mean, I've done a couple of those with people.
Okay.
Like just a crush. In other words, the love letter that is inviting someone into your life. And you don't know what you're going to get in return.
Right.
So what would your question be?
Well, I felt a lot of pressure just because if he does have a girlfriend, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be a homewrecker. I mean, I know they're not married, but I just wouldn't want to be that person to get involved with that. And then also too, what if he's not interested? And then I put her in a really vulnerable spot with this letter that she probably wouldn't have sent or.
Okay. But have you discussed this with her? That's what's important.
Yeah. She requested the letter.
And so you want something that says, I want you to know from afar how you strike me as somebody really wonderful. And I don't know what your life situation is, but if you are not attached, come say hello.
You make it so simple.
It is. Isn't that kind of what you're looking at?
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I would just write that down and send it to her. Never mind the lyric. But if you find a lyric like that.
Right.
Well, or find a part of a lyric like that.
Yeah, that's part of the project. So I have to find
someone
else's words expressing that.
Uh-huh.
That's great.
Can you do combinations?
I can. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you'll find something. I mean, I think that's lovely to do. You know, end it even with something, whatever your status is, it's nice to be able to say hello to, and I'm hoping that we can be friends.
Right, that's great.
Know?
Yeah, that's very
And regards
simple.
To your significant other, if you have one. I mean, just, There was a lovely woman. I mean, my experience is so blessedly rich with this life, and she had written a letter, a love letter, to somebody she really was crazy about and never mailed it. And we were talking, and she still has it. And I said, well, why not mail it? And she said, well, he might be with somebody. And I said, but it's still nice to know that somebody found you attractive. You know, you can put it like that. And then it turned out that his relationship fell apart, and so did hers. And then she sent it.
Did it work out?
Uh-huh.
It did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. People are open for feeling attractive and wanted.
Right.
No?
That's true.
That's what the Facebook like page is about.
Definitely.
That's the institutionalization of that need. Like us on Facebook. It's a plea for being liked. I had my car towed one day. It was just, I was 4 minutes. They had changed the time, you know, the hour that you couldn't park here in San Francisco, as if there's one you can. And I realized, anyway, I ran from my car and they were towing it away as I came up, and I said, oh, just, you know, I'll be happy to pay the fine, but can I just have the car so I don't have to make a trip?
And they said no, right?
No, because it was already on the truck.
Right.
And three darling guys, and I could tell they would have if they could have. Anyway, I get down there and it's a fortune for the ticket. It was 5 minutes into the no parking
time.
That's
like $500.
Uh-huh. It was very much like $500. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. And what can you do? You give them a credit card and you worry about that part later. Mm-hmm. Okay, so between this, and as I'm giving them my credit card and a little upset, I see a sign on the window that says, like us on Facebook.
No. For what?
I couldn't. Uh-huh. My foot, like us on Facebook. Yeah. So everybody needs that. Even when they're skewering you, they're hoping you'll like them. So yes, send those love letters.
Who are you liking? The tow company?
I don't know who you're liking. Well, I think you're liking the place where they take it. And in fact, they do a nice job of getting it back to you quickly. As soon as you fork over the $500, they're pleasant enough. They're not unlikable. But still, I'm just saying, you know, everybody wants to feel attractive and liked.
Yeah.
So you're doing a wonderful thing to foster that. I'm so glad we met.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the upside down stamp you asked about before. And I don't know how many people listening to this know this or are old enough to remember it. But, you know, the envelope is the gift wrap for this gift you are sending someone. And you want to embellish it and you want to make it attractive and you want to choose the favorite color of the person getting the letter.
Right.
It says, I'm thinking about you from the outside all the way in.
Definitely.
Or your favorite color. So when they open, see it on their mail pile, they'll say, ah, from Angie. They'll know right away. And people used to put an upside down stamp that meant, I love you.
That's so sweet.
So you have a little heartbeat right away when you see that upside down stamp.
That's so cute.
You know, or SWAK sealed with a kiss.
And where do you write that? On the back?
No, right on the front next to the address. You just slam it on the side of the thing.
Oh, that's cute.
You know, and there used to be deliver, D letter, the letter D, D sooner, D better. And the postman was part of your life.
Right.
Now poor guys are dragging around, you know, Sears catalogs. I mean, big, heavy things. That's not what they signed up for. They signed up to cement the bond between people.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's what they signed up for. So, you know, when you send love letters, you're letting the mail carriers do the very important job they signed up for, which is to be the bond of scattered families and to cement friendship and to be an instrument of commerce in an important way, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I do like what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
Can we be in touch forever?
Yeah, please. I would like that.
Good. Okay. So now, the thing about upside down stamps is sometimes you do one mistakenly because, you know, you can't see which way it goes. And by the way, stamps are gorgeous.
They are.
Stamps are such an art form.
Definitely.
But people, you know, a lot of people know what it is. Well, gosh, I thank you for doing this with me. Do you have any website you'd like to give where people can look things up?
Well,
you did mention that children's book project.
I did. The book is actually on Amazon. So if you search Love Letter, Angie Britsky,
okay.
And it's at a few bookstores. It's at Adobe Books in the Mission.
Good. Okay.
It's also.
And if people Google you.
Yeah, they can Google me.
That's usually the easiest.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Angie, BRZYCKI. Britsky.
Polish.
Yes. Okay, good. Thank you, dear, for doing this. And I just want to say what I always say, which is if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. And as you can see from this, there's just always some creative new way to spread this love through love letters. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Until next time. Goodbye.
Bye.